She inspires, educates, and informs. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome for the first time in 10 years. I'm so excited. I think this might even be a trivia question for the future. What was the first Mrs. Green's World show not hosted by Mrs. Green? This is not Gina Murphy, darling, but you are listening to Mrs. Green's World. My name is Kelly King. And for this next hour, we are going to share in a very special conversation together. Before we get to that conversation, I want to take a moment to thank our sponsors for this show. We have a few. First, you, the listener. Thank you for supporting Mrs. Green's World by listening and sharing our podcasts, emailing us your feedback, and being a part of the conversation. Second, in no particular order, the entire Mrs. Green's World team, because none of this would be possible without Dave, James, Bonnie, Lynn, Meredith, Christy, and Katie. All of our partners, sponsors, social media tribe, newsletter readers, and really, really important, our sustainers. We have a very strong group of sustainers who contribute financially to support our work and keep us going every year, every month, and every day. You can become one of those sustainers by visiting mrsgreensworld.com and become a member. Thank you to all who sponsor us. Okay, everyone, we're going to sit down for a cup of green tea, so to speak, with our Mrs. Green, Gina Murphy, darling, and celebrate. We're celebrating the beauty of Gina's journey over the last 10 plus years, a journey that we refer to as being Mrs. Green. And it is a journey decorated with a lot of hope, inspiration, pain, joy, and for sure, fun. Thanks so much for joining us and being a part of Mrs. Green's World. Welcome to my teacher, my mentor, my coach, my partner, yes, she is crying, everyone, and my friend, Mrs. Green, Gina Murphy, darling.
This feels really weird to be on the other side of the microphone. It's really weird. And in that list of thanks, Kelly King was not mentioned because to do that. Thank you very much, because who's been standing by my side? Cindy Godwin goes mm-hmm. back way, way, mm-hmm. way long. And then, of course, every show, we thank our sponsors, mm-hmm. our major sponsors. So it's been the entire tribe, and we have so many sponsors that would take the whole show to mention them. So it's just been a journey of love and passion and pain. You had to bring that up, but it's all been worth it.
It's all part of the process, right? Well, I'm so thrilled to be sitting here with you and to really take this time to reflect, learn, discover, and perhaps have the chance to encourage others that want to be the difference that they seek to be in the world. Let's start at the very beginning, which, as you often say, my friend, on your podcast, is a very good place to start. Can you take us to the moment when you knew that you were about to step onto a very different path in your life than perhaps you had foreseen and begin the journey of Mrs. Green? What was that moment like?
How blessed is it that I have that Kodak moment. Mm-hmm. There were other moments leading up to it, and it was at the Awakening the Dreamer, Changing the Dream conference that we hosted with a number of other people. Mrs. Green was actually one of the people that helped put it together, and we were doing this open space concept with, you know, my friend Cassandra O'Neill. She was facilitating it, and it was about awakening the dream or changing the dream, and what was our next dream. And of course, my journey really began in the rainforest in Peru, and realizing the implications of the devastation of the rainforest. But I literally, I mean, I wish it was on video. I swear, mm-hmm. because I'm like, what was I thinking? I stood up and I said, I know what I'm going to do for my awakening the dream or changing the dream. I'm going to start a radio show. And there was like cheering and disbelief and like, what do you mean you're going to start a radio show? You got any background in radio? Oh, no, that's okay. And I stood up and people started making me, you know, like pipe cleaners, which I still have, saying Mrs. Green. And I said, I'm going to call it Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream. And that was the moment. And then it was out there. It was public. There were, you know, like 120, 130 people in the room. And I thought, there's no taking this back, right. Chica. You're on the road. So that was the moment. It was like, there it was. And I wish it was on video.
Making that declaration. And putting it out there.
Yes.
Yeah, really yep. important step. So as you were beginning to put the first pieces of Mrs. Green together, what was important to you? What were the values that were driving the decisions you were making?
One of the things that I think is important to mention too, which gets forgotten in the conversation and I will never forget it, is that I started in the beginning with a partner named Janet Ray. Mm-hmm. And she was very much a part of having enough courage. I was scared to go on a radio show since I had no background at all. And she was willing to do it for me. And the value, the number one value that I think, if there's one, was no matter what we did, it had to have integrity. We wanted it to be honest. We wanted us to be a trusted source when we started on Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream. And the other part of it was, to the extent possible, we really wanted to make sure that it was not political, because it shouldn't be. Climate change, social justice, sustainability of the planet is not a political issue just because some people would like us to believe it is. Mm-hmm. It isn't. It shouldn't be divisive. It's the planet. And the planet doesn't vote. So those were the values of really being trusted, the whole transparency issue, and then being dedicated to as apolitical a platform as we could keep it. And we've been pretty good at that until recently.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think even with how great it is that you have carried forward that authenticity since the very beginning, it is when those core values are in place, not only do they come out, Gina, in the show and in your newsletter and et cetera, but I have to tell you, as a member of your team that is in this with you every single day, it is a part of how we have built our business.
We have.
Really, you know, I mean, even within our team, you know, that tagline that we have, we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. How many moments we have had of clarity and encouraging each other to really think it through and really question ourselves, like our own values, and we've really encouraged and enriched authenticity amongst our team. So you have brought it forward from those very first conversations.
It's such a good message, Kel. When you just have it in place, it's your bar. Mm-hmm. And then you use that and you go back to it and you check on it. And I think we've done a really good job. We have a team full of integrity. Even the people that have come and gone, we have not had a lot of people come and go. Mm-hmm. But everybody that came and left their footprint was aligned with that intention going forth, of showing up every day and of having integrity when we show up. Mm-hmm. It's really been a guiding principle, and it does. It makes it easy, even when you're seeking out partners. Mm-hmm. You know, I said to somebody the other day, I said, you know what? I pick my partners. I pick them very carefully because they have to be vetted to our standards as well.
Yeah. And I think it's an important message, I think, for anyone who is, whether it's that you want to start a business or you want to get involved in an organization, whatever you're going to, I always like to say, invest your time, not spend your time. Whatever you're going to invest your time in, to really know what those core values are. And like you said, hold them up as a mirror along the way. And use them as your compass.
Right.
You know, it's
right.
really, really important.
One of the things that just struck me in the list of things, did we mention Katie Murphy, darling? You did, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I'm thinking, okay, Katie, because my daughter's been a part of this. I mean, my whole family, but she has been a part. And I'm thinking about that in terms of someone that has unquestionable integrity, which living in LA has been quite a challenge for her. To have that moral compass and to show up in LA is not always the easiest of things to do.
And she's doing it.
So, yes. So, go ahead.
It's we got her. We got her.
You know
beginning.
Me. These thoughts come in randomly and I have no control of it, just like they do when I'm doing the interview.
I told Gina at the beginning, we only have an hour. So,
we won't get through these three pages of questions.
We might not
questions.
Get through the four pages, three or four pages questions. When you're faced with a decision in your life, what is your process when you're making a decision? How do you, Gina Murphy Darling, determine the next best steps to take?
In my, I don't have a personal life and then a professional life. I have one life and it's really incredible. And unfortunately, here's the integrity and the answer, is sometimes I am a whirling dervish and don't think everything through. So that's something to hold myself in check about. But I think now I'm getting to the point where the process is to even just press pause and think about, if I'm asked to be on a board, what is the time commitment? Can I honor that commitment? Who I'm going to be willing to go and do public speaking. And in my personal life, it's a really a much smaller decision-making process because unfortunately I've let things get out of balance and I'm reminded of that so that I have to remember now I like to say yes. I don't like to say no. So now I'm trying to hold myself in check. I have people like you and like my husband and my family, the team saying, how much can your bandwidth stretch? So thinking about that more carefully. I'm really trying to, in the decision-making process, think about my personal health and my balance in my life or lack thereof, and then make the decision going forward about that. I like so much and I'm blessed with a lot of energy.
I can attest to that.
Yes. I got a lot
of
adrenal glands.
What time did you leave this morning? What time are you coming home?
And I'm not tired. That's the part that's freaky Friday. I'm like, I'm not tired. Last week, I got tired.
You have those moments. Right, but having that tribe around you to be a sounding board is really an important piece.
Right.
Really an important piece. So who maybe outside of our team, maybe outside of your family, Gina has a look on her face like, where are you going with this question? What's stumping the guest? Who has been instrumental on this journey for you in the last 10 plus years that you've been missing? Who has been your inspiration?
So I didn't know what I was going to say, but the first thought that shot in was Seth Godin. Not a surprise at all. Who do I turn to every day for guidance is Seth Godin. And for people that don't know, I encourage you for your life, not just your business, but when you talk about integrity and showing up and not just being another shill or a marketer or whatever, what is your intention? Seth Godin has been there. And I remember when I was starting this, my brother Brian said, read Tribes. You got to get the book Tribes. And another person I know is reading that book as she is starting her journey. And I said, you will never go wrong because there's a difference between, marketing and building numbers and really gathering a tribe, and the tribe finds you. So he was a major influence. And I still have to mention Cindy because she is a mentor and a guide, and she thinks at a different in a very different place and comes at things very differently. So there have been times when you and I and the team have turned to her for guidance. And then, of course, a guiding light for me, Travis Carson. Really and truly, he's another one that is just there for me and has helped me get out of the weeds my own way, get out of the way, Gina, and guide me in a non-judgmental way. And his company is called Market Force, and he is training people all over the world, like Alaska Airlines and me. You know what I mean? So he's not a trainer. He's really a coach and a mentor, and so wise and so able to calm me down, which is a challenge. When you have whirling dervish brain, which I think they should make a condition, you have sometimes quieting that down and knowing some of the right directions in which to go, because nobody's ever really created what we have created. That, let's be honest. We have not, no, there's no job description or roadmap or let's do what that company did. And as we have found, we constantly evolve and morph into the next iteration of what we want our impact to be. So from a half hour, Mrs. Green Goes Mainstream on News Talk 790 KNST to an environmental education agency that's known known nationally and internationally. Mm-hmm. That is a very different thing than saying we're a podcast. So we're a movement. And when I got clarity about that, when we got clarity about that, it becomes easier to explain than just we're not a media buy. And I say to people, when I'm meeting with them, I say, please don't call us a media buy because we're not a media buy. Like, I am so manic about that because that just is about fulfillment. Mm-hmm. It's not about the mission.
And what, you know, one, I think the key thing that you said, well, you said a few key things, but one of the key things you said that I think really captures the spirit of Mrs. Green's World is how are we going to evolve to create the greater impact that we're looking to create. And one of the things that, you know, you and I laugh all the time, we feel like Seth Godin sits down, dear Gina and Kelly, dear Gina, dear Kelly.
Yes, I send it to the team a lot.
And one of the things he says is, what do you care enough to say?
Yes.
And that is, Gina, you are always living in that and bringing it forward, and it's fantastic.
And he says, don't make noise. Sometimes I just want to make noise and don't make noise. Be intentional. And that really then translates to what your Facebook page looks like. It's not busy. It's intentional. Mm-hmm. And people engage. And everything you do then has that message of don't just make noise, make a difference. Absolutely. What difference do you want to make? And it makes it easier to have that guiding principle.
That's
right. Is this noise or is this me ranting or is this an important rant?
Mm-hmm. Really important. I love it. What creates fear in you and how do you face overcome it?
Without a doubt, I have not gotten emotional on this show in 10 years, I think twice. Winona Howder was one, and I think one of the tribal shows. I'm not quite sure what the second one was, but the most important thing that drives me every day is the fear of climate change and the acceleration of it. That is the place from which I come, the mindfulness around that, the urgency I feel. Like when I started, I wasn't quite in la-la land, but I was at the beginning of the journey. Mm-hmm. And my tagline was, what if living green could be fun? Well, that still holds. If you make your choices fun and you don't feel like they're a burden, that's great. There are sacrifices that have to be made. But the clear and present danger today, not for my grandchildren, of climate change is irrefutable. And I, of course, just absolutely constantly fill my head and my heart with information that supports that belief, that I have a mission, that our team has a mission to spread the word, to activate the matrix so that people know and then can make more conscious choices, live more mindfully. There are things happening now, like droughts, like there are climate refugees. People don't want to call them that, but there are climate refugees because if you live in certain parts of the world and your farm fails, there is no Circle K in India and places in Africa. You don't go get a job in a bank. There are vast lands where people have only known farming forever, like since the beginning of time. So when that fails, there are no options except to leave the land, have your family starve, steal, go to war. So when I learned so much about the climate justice pieces of it, it was really scary. So I have a lot of fear around, you know, I put a lot of pressure on myself. You have to activate more of the matrix. You have to get to more people. More people need to listen to this show. And it's never about us and our egos and getting bigger numbers. It's about getting bigger impact. So I think it's wise to have fear. And I always remember whoever said it, fear is the same as excitement. So have the fear, all those cliches about feel the fear and do it anyway. But I think we're in a race against time. And some days I have hope and some days, quite frankly, it's daunting to see the acceleration of, you know, we're now at 400 parts per million for carbon emissions. And 350 was the danger zone. So unless we figure out how to suck carbon out of the air, which people are working on very quickly, and commensurate with that, cut down on a lot of the carbon, we're in a race to reduce. That's the first R. Yeah. So it's that's pretty much the only fear I have on a regular basis. And I hold it in check because people don't want to be afraid. It doesn't really attract more listeners and get more people to read your newsletters. But with the tribe, we've even with the newsletter, even when I write about deep, heavy subjects, it's shocking to me how the tribe is there, the response is there, the hearts that I touched is there. And it's very affirming to me when someone writes
and said, I read your newsletter, I'm going to copy it, and it really matters to me that you wrote about this particular thing.
So absolutely.
It's really, that's the part.
It's interesting to me when you were giving your response, like the deep breathing that I was taking. And I find myself, like as a member of the team, an extension of Mrs. Green, when people ask me, well, what do you do? What is it that you do for work?
What do you say? It's not
like,
work.
How long do you have? Do you have an hour?
Right.
How long do you want to hear? But I find myself sitting back and really thinking about wanting to help them understand not what I do, but why it matters.
Yes.
So
yes.
Why does Mrs. Green's world matter? Why does it matter? I think you encaptured it, but what do you say to that? Why does Mrs. Green's world matter?
I think it matters because of the like kind of the aggregate, I would say, of the gifts that the team brings that gives us the ability to deliver that important message day after day in ways that people can hear it. That's what I think matters, because people don't want to be yelled at. I didn't. Mm-hmm. I do not want to be made to feel guilty. I don't like the shouting. I said I will never shout or put a guest on. I never play stump the guest or, you know, come at them in some nasty or aggressive way. And I think that we have a way of getting the message across that people can hear it. And I know that some people in the climate change world think that not using plastic bags and not, you know, using water when you brush your teeth are ridiculously small and they're never going to have enough of an impact. And I say, shame on you. Because that's the beginning of mindfulness and consciousness that says it's going to be bigger. I mean, our family, everything's different. Pretty much everything is different. And some of it is not fun, especially around our eating habits. Mm-hmm. We know that the best thing in the world to do is be vegetarian. There's no question about it. Mm-hmm. And we're not. Mm-hmm. James has done a lot better than I have. My eating patterns have been challenging since I was born. I wish my mother was here to attest to that. But I spit peas and spinach halfway across the room and all the other sweet stuff, the sweet potatoes, I'll have more of that.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, as her third child, it was pretty funny to watch my total disdain for green vegetables. I'm out now. And I say to people, don't ask me to have kale. I don't care, Rita, you're at Hotel Congress. I'm not eating your kale no matter how you cook it. It's
Brussels
just,
sprouts.
Oh my gosh. And I'm so proud of my children and grandchildren that order platters of Brussels sprouts, and I'm like putting a tissue up to my nose so I don't have to smell them.
But it's always fun going to conferences with Mrs. Green and seeing what's on the menu or the buffet.
Yeah, and I pull out my bar. It's like, okay, there's going to be a lot of bars. And
I'm like, this is great. Look at all these vegetables.
Fried, yeah, like roasted vegetables. I'm like, okay, what am I going to eat? This last conference at the Climate Reality Project, I love telling about it. I ate a lot of chips and chocolate chip cookies because there was like quinoa salad and kale this. And
you're at the Climate Reality Project. It's
right,
about
it's
a
healthy.
Plant-based diet.
They are really doing it. So back to the importance of our message. In many other ways, and even in this way, I walk the walk. But I think, mm-hmm. I think we are unique in the way that we deliver the message. Our refusal to narrow it down. People say, "Oh, you should narrow it down. You know, you cover everything." And I just look at them and I say, "Well, I have narrowed it down." They go, "Really? What are you focusing on?" I say, "The planet," mm-hmm. because to think that you can segment this is ridiculous, mm-hmm. because we need energy, we need water, we need clean rivers, we need clean air, we need a healthier food supply, we need to worry about food deserts, we need to worry about the filthy fashion industry, because we are one planet. There isn't like a Pacific Ocean for them and one for us.
Ron Garrett in space. When
another,
he said that on the show.
Talk about
oh,
a thought
gosh.
Leader. I mean, he saw it and he looked at not just the size of us, we're so small, but the fragility, the very thin layer. And Al Gore said that too, the very thin layer around our planet and the fragility of it. It's very scary to think about that. So I think our message of really speaking English, not science, mm-hmm. and connecting with people. And I'm just going to say this, at the heart space, not just the head space. I don't know a woman who doesn't want a healthier planet for her children or grandchildren or her nieces and nephews mm-hmm. if she doesn't have them. People want that when mm-hmm. you ask them.
Absolutely. Yeah. The key is we. The key is
we. The key is we.
The key is we. Well, one of the things I did in preparation for this show was to go out and gather questions from the global community.
Was it stump guest time?
Most of them came locally. It was like a barrage of people that just could not wait to ask their question to Mrs. Green. And this one comes from Dan H. in Arizona, and I'm looking at Gina wondering if she could figure out who Dan H. might be.
Hogan, you better be.
He had like 10 that he wanted to ask, but I pulled one, Dan, for you.
Mr. TEP, you're going to pay for this, dude.
If you could go back, I thought this was a brilliant one. If you could go back and speak with Gina Murphy Darling 10 years ago, what would you say to her?
I would say, it's going to be a lot harder to build this than you think, kiddo, because you've had a lot of successful businesses, like some big successes. There's a lot of learning for you along the way. You cannot hurry this up because part of it is going to be what you learn. I mean, I had no business starting the radio show in the first place with what I knew.
It's Guess
the
what story I'm going to do when I grow up. I'm going to start a radio
show. Yeah, I'm going to start a radio show. Okay. And I would have said to myself, this is different. Stay the course. The planet needs you. Your family needs you. And there are going to be times when you're going to say, I'm going to go get a job. Mm-hmm. And don't quit. Keep going. And, you know, I have to quote Lisa Lavallo from I do because she cracked me up. Cox Media, she said, you are the best example of a 10-year overnight success of anybody I know. And that tribute to us and to me is that we did keep showing up, and there have been a lot of radio stations and of this, you know, the content of the sustainability and green that have come and gone. And, you know, there's a fighter in me, and I've had a great team around me. So when I was ready, I mean, there were some dark days when I thought, this is really hard. What are we? How do we articulate it? I know that we're on the right path. And then getting clarity. That's our favorite word now for you and me, clarity Absolutely. Around that. So I'd say that, Gina, hold on, kiddo. I know you're 56 and it might take till you're 66, but it's going to be worth it. And it feels a lot easier now because of the clarity that we have and no investment in the outcome, as the market force people say, that the right partners will present themselves and appear and want to be on this journey because they share those same core values and they get the urgency. Mm-hmm. Or they believe in us. That's another thing. They might not, but they say, if she's doing it and she's got this team, we're on board to support that mission and vision. Mm-hmm. And I thank those partners.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This next question comes from Jennifer T. in Arizona. And she asks, where do you see Mrs. Green's world progressing to in the next 10 years?
You know, we have a vision for that. We talk about it a lot. This is funny, but it's not when I say it. And I love it when people laugh. And I want to say, you just laugh louder because nothing inspires me more than to be laughed at. So I always say, Oprah, Ellen, Mrs. Green. I don't say Oprah, Ellen, Gina. And there's a very, very intentional reason for that. This isn't about Gina Murphy, darling. This is about Mrs. Green. And so I see us having a much broader impact, being much more known nationally for all of those things, the integrity, the source that you can trust, good information presented in a very, you know, relatable way to be able to reach more people and activate the matrix faster. I, of course, would love, love, love to have a television show. And the reason for that is not necessarily because of how happy I am to see myself on camera. We all know about that one. But the importance of, there's two pieces to this. One is, it is, to me, important that any person listening to this, no matter what their age is, you can reinvent themselves. Very important. I did it. I didn't say, oh, I'm going to reinvent myself. I went to the rainforest, you know, drank the Kool-Aid, whatever that was, the magic, the juju, the incredible impact of the rainforest, came back, got involved with great people, and then Mrs. Green's World was born. The other part of it is, you know, the courage to have that and know that if you're doing that, it's joyful. And I forgot what the other piece was going to be. So that's me. That's being honest. There was another piece that'll come back to me. I'll say, oh, I know what I was going to say
about
that.
And we'll circle back around on
it. We'll circle back around.
But I think, yeah, that.
Oh, television.
Oh, having your own show.
Yes. And the reason is because a lot of times when a guest is sitting where you're sitting, or I'm interviewing them, or I hear about stories, there is a visual impact component that you cannot translate. No matter how good the guests are or I am in extracting the information, sometimes when you see it, it's either incredibly inspirational or the big wow factor, and you're not going to forget that image. You're never going to forget that image. So a television show would really, it's a different audience in some ways. Everybody's not a podcast listener, but there are people that watch a lot of cable TV. Mm-hmm. So the fact that there's a possibility for TV show down the road excites me a lot. And I can't wait to be a ham. I'm such a ham. And when you're in this chair,
she
you
really
have to
needs to work on being kind of funny. Yeah, really,
it's like, I can't wait. I am going to do
a little more personality.
Yeah, I'm not going to do a cartwheel. I could never do that. Even when I was a cheerleader, I'm going to do a somersault. I'm going to practice on my somersaults and then stand up in the power stance and say, that's how I'm going to open my show. So I'll have to be careful about what I'm wearing. But I think it would be so fun to go on site and see some of these things, especially what a lot of the children are doing and the grassroots things that are here and around the world. It would be wonderful to have that come into reality. And I think we're closer than we've ever been, and we're just putting it out there. And who knows who will listen to the show and say, have I got an idea for you?
Yeah.
That's what we do. We put it out there. But the television part would be really great. And of course, you know, syndication. I never wanted to be on NPR because I heard you can't be emotional. Well, their business model has changed. So to have the respect of a very different show of that credibility on NPR. So I think the possibilities are endless. Partnering with bigger organizations so that it can spread to their thousands of employees. Places like Timberland, I can say it, and Kyocera, they care about the planet. And I always say, who's telling your story?
That's absolutely
who's telling your story. So together we can tell a story that reaches more people.
Yeah. And you know, as the producer of the show, going out talking to potential guests, etc., they're always like, you want us to come on your show? We've never been on a show before. They're amazing. And they're
so
doing
true.
This earth, I mean, amazing work.
So
and
true.
Nobody's talking about it. That's not getting the coverage. And to have a visual medium for that would be
unbelievable. Really unbelievable. The pain of it, the beauty of it, the joy of it, the celebration of it, the reality of it. There's so many pieces to this that I could think of if I was in a room by myself for an hour, I could come up with 50 story concepts.
It's really true.
Because we've got a lot in our vault, a lot of things that we've done, so to speak, and we could just look back and say, that would be amazing. Here's the sludge that's going into the river from this farmer that is now, it's going to be legal. Let's hope not, but you know, see the impact.
There's that deep breath again.
Yeah, Flint, Michigan. Mm-hmm. Talk to those mothers. You know, like our friend Vien Trong from Green for All.
Yeah.
I mean, when she talked, I wanted to go there with her. Of course, I wanted to go because Van Jones was on the bus with her, but we're not going to mention that. And see the beauty of telling that story and the absolute devastation and the ongoing tragedy that is. My friend Mary Lou, Fukushima. Who's keeping that conversation going?
That's right.
The nuclear waste is still as much of a problem almost as when the tsunami hit, because they don't know what to do with it. Every bit of it is still around somewhere. So it's, you know, take a deep breath on that one, right? I see that I reached you. It's like, yeah, Fukushima. When did that happen? Oh, yeah, that's right. That's so yesterday. It's today.
It's absolutely today. When that same spirit of today, I want to shift gears slightly to the planet, actually. If you were to give a health report on the planet today, what would be contained in that report?
It would be
C,
you're really sick.
D,
no, it's no, no, no. We would honestly, with integrity and honesty, I'm sorry to say, we would be at an F. And I really am. The only area that we would not, and I mean, Al Gore impressed the heck out of me when I went to that climate reality leadership training. It's definitely an F on many fronts. I don't live in the F. You know what I mean? I live in the A.
Yeah, that's right.
But there is the green economy, real green economy with green energy. That train has left the station. So when I get fear around some of the current proposed policies to bring back dirty coal so that more people can die from black lung, more children can get cancer younger, they can be in horrible jobs for, well, let's open that up, and polluting the air. Most coal miners would like another job and another choice. And coal plant owners are saying it doesn't make sense. Even if we lift the restrictions, it doesn't make sense because solar is so much more effective from a financial standpoint, which flipped in the 10 years, as you and I know. Solar used to be so expensive. Paul Bonavia sat in that chair and said, you know, coal costs this much and solar costs this much. What are we going to do? Well, it's flipped. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely and positively flipped. So the green energy part will help us get healthier. But in terms of what we're still doing, it's daunting. That's one area of hope. The fashion revolution. There is a fashion revolution. It is not a fake revolution. It is a real revolution. And people are starting to wonder, where did this $10 t-shirt, $5 t-shirt, even worse, show up? Fast fashion has been devastating to the planet, continues to be. The presentation I did at the CORE the other day, the number of chemicals used, what you do with those chemicals, the intensity, 700 gallons of water for one t-shirt. People are starting to do that math and connect to know where your clothes came from. And I think it's a lot of the big ones are, I mean, Eileen Fisher, leader. We're going to have some shows about that, but I think it's really you have to look for the hope and feed the hope, not the fear.
I love it. Well, and so based on that health report, what would you like every person to be doing today, right now, while you're listening out there, to move us toward a more healthy, sustainable planet? What would you, Mrs. Green, want every person to start doing today?
No pressure. What I would want them to do is, it really is one thing, and it's make a commitment to mindfulness. That is really the truth. When you start understanding what that is, look up the definition, and it's either mindfulness or living consciously. And as this journey evolved, I started thinking about, well, you got up this morning and you know, let's be honest, you flushed the toilet and used toilet paper, consuming water and toilet paper, which takes a lot to work. Let's get in there, right?
Yep.
And then took a shower, water, whatever it is you're draining down the water in your shower goes somewhere. So are you using products that are not going to harm our water, or are you using products that are going to harm your body and the water supply? I don't think about those things anymore, Kel. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah. I morphed. Yeah. So I have anything on my shower you can use. You know, I've totally transitioned to like Aveda and really clean, healthy products. You know, I scrub my feet with a soap that I get from these guys that are at the farmer's market that has walnut seed in them. It's just as great as anything you could think of. It's natural. We support them. And then knowing that along every step of the way, the makeup I put on, and I'm a minimalist. I don't put any of that, you know, stuff that makes me feel like I have Bondo on my face. But all of those steps matter. Then where you're going to, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, where you're going to eat out. That's one of the easiest changes that people can make. So what I would say to people is, please don't be overwhelmed by the number of things you're hearing. Pick the first step of your journey. Every journey, that those cliches, they stay around for a reason.
They do.
Because every journey begins with a single step. Mm-hmm. And what is your single step? And, you know, like my friend Jackie Scully, she'll love that I mentioned her. I spent the weekend with her with, you know, my peer advisory group in Phoenix, Grow Your Biz. And she had no idea. She had no idea. And we started talking about things, and somebody came out with a plastic water bottle, and they looked at her, they said, I would hide that if I were you. And I don't come after people, but the people that I'm around with a lot know that a plastic water bottle is not a good move. And I want to say to everybody, it's not just because it will most likely not be recycled and end up in the landfill. It's because of what it takes to make, to ship, the water that's used, the energy to make, to package it and get it to us. And then I stand by this. No matter what you're buying in a plastic water bottle, chances are there's some leaching that goes on that's harmful to your health. We haven't gotten there. And so it, I believe that massive plastic, our connection to plastic causes cancer. And I am not Dr. Murphy, darling, but a lot more research is coming out because we haven't had time for long studies because plastic is new and the amount of plastic in our lives is new. So yeah, it's, if you care about your health, minimizing any contact with plastic is a really good step. So just take a deep breath and decide, I'm going to take this seriously. It will have a ripple effect, not by preaching and shaming, but by example. You know what I mean? Just showing up differently and being mindful. It's yeah. it's the road to conscious living.
It's absolutely the key. I was having a conversation with a girlfriend yesterday, and I was sharing with her something, an example of mindful living for the planet. And she said, well, I do those things, but I never did them thinking about the planet. I did them because they saved money or they...
Good point.
And I said, that's all part of it. See, people think, oh, environmentalism...
It's going to be expensive.
It's expensive and it's tree hugging and you eat... You know, all of those
not
things.
True.
Yeah, not true. And it's if you really just stop and think, if making this decision, what's the impact on my community, on my state, on my country? What is the impact on the planet in making this choice versus this choice? And if we can all just get there, it's about living a healthy, balanced, sustainable life. And that matters to the planet.
And you bring up a really good point, and I'm so glad that you did that. And I want everybody to know, we did not rehearse this at all.
At all.
Kelly was going to make me suffer to the end. I'm saying, are you going to stump the guest? But I think the part about, and it's getting better, exploding the myth that green is more expensive.
Yeah.
It isn't. In any metric you look at, it might look on paper, organic vegetables are more expensive. Organic fruit are more expensive. True. The impact it can have on your health can save you, can save your life,
yeah.
can save your children's life. Helps with the health of the planet. The more people buy it, the more the prices will go down. Look at our imperfect produce people that are now getting ugly fruit, ugly vegetables out
That's
there,
right.
healthy ones. And then the other part is, and someone pointed this out to me, we all have budgets. Some of us have better budgets than others and stick to them more closely. But if you make a choice to buy organic vegetables and you buy two things less of meat in that cart, chances are you're spending a lot less money overall because meat is the most expensive thing that we all buy. So that's one area. And then the other area is if you're buying five lattes a week, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Hopefully you'll bring in your reusable latte cup. But think about maybe moving those budget items a little bit to a healthier choice for your fruits and vegetables, especially. And even if the meat I eat now, which I do, is we're doing like the down low investigation, Googling, making sure there's no fake, you know, advertising here with the meat that we do eat to source it from cruelty-free, antibiotic-free, hormone-free. And, you know, I wrote that on my Facebook page and someone said, at the end of the day, you're still killing an animal. And that's true. I mean, it is true. And people make the case that that's why we have these incisors. I don't particularly believe that, but I think eating less meat is going to be make a lot of things in your grocery list more affordable, better for the planet, and healthier for your body.
Absolutely. And going back to what you said about fashion too, if you're not buying the $5, $10 clothing, that's not really even going to last a year.
Right.
The seams start coming
falls
out.
Apart falls after apart. Five washes.
I mean, really, it doesn't hold up. And you make the investment. You know, Laura Tanzer, she really taught me that in talking with her. You make the investment
right.
in the sustainable, locally
owned
clothes.
You buy pieces.
You buy pieces that stay with you
and
that
look
are
at
timeless.
Her pieces. I mean, they're stunning.
Yep.
I have some and people always comment, and my friend Isabel has some. She wore them in Canada and people say, oh my gosh, that's gorgeous. And she looks and she goes, it's a Laura Tanzer.
Mm-hmm.
So that is sustainable fashion at its finest. And it is a bit more of an investment. And then you'll have it. and you can change it out and pep it up and make it happen. The biggest challenge I have is with shoes. I admit that. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to find shoes. So I bought Eileen Fisher shoes when I was in LA with my daughter. So they fit the fashion maven and they pass the sustainability test because I know she is on a very aggressive conscious path. Their company is.
And that's where you want to put your support.
Yes, you know,
absolutely.
Right.
Well, this next question comes from someone who must be a stranger to Mrs. Green's world.
I know you don't mean
this. Bonnie G in Michigan.
Bonita, you better not be.
Bonbon.
Yeah.
Do you feel hopeful? Does Mrs. Green feel hopeful that there is still time to turn things around?
Thanks, Bon. So here comes the choked up. Honestly, from my heart, some days I do and some days I don't, depending upon who I interview, what article I read, what scientists I spoke with, what hatred I see, because really and truly, people, I double dog dare you to challenge me on this. We do have climate refugees, 1.5 million of them, and we're about to have 1.5 million more. So there is a political piece to this. And when your land is threatened because 1.5 million refugees moved over the fence, that's scary. So it's not a blame game and, oh, open arms. There are just so much open arms that we can do without addressing some of the real problems. And addressing climate change is the longer-term solution, but it is the only one. So there are days when I have literally, you know, this canceled all appointments because I have to read something like Harry Potter to bring me back or go to a movie that's funny to say, you cannot give up hope because where there is life, there is hope. The fact that you know, people say, well, some young kid is going to invent something and it's going to suck all the carbon out of the air. That's highly unlikely. But I think that if we would have to activate a big matrix quickly to give me more hope. And that being said, I live with hope, possibility, and change. So, yeah, it's tough. And that is what I want to add to the urgency of the message. You know, people don't realize climate change is not happening over there or down the road. Climate change is happening right here in our own backyard, and warmer this and warmer that, and the polar ice caps, the reality of that, and Miami being underwater. It's happening right here on our land in the United States to people's health and to, you know, especially on the coasts, it's really devastating. The megafires taking out millions of acres of land that won't come back in our lifetime. So it's mixed, to be honest. I'm not full of hope all the time. Some days it's hard to think about what do I really want to say in this newsletter and don't write that. We have to have hope.
Yeah, it's your presentation that you did this past weekend at the CORE. Mrs. Green was at the CORE, TMC's the CORE at La Encantada. And I really liked how you said that climate change is a faceless villain.
It is. Thank you, Katie Murphy, darling.
Yes, because that was really, that captured attention, I think. And then it reinforced the message of raising the consciousness and the urgency.
You can't see it. You can't taste it.
So you can't. You're ignoring it, and it's just really, really. I really like that in your presentation. Well, kind of along the same lines, we have Carter R. in Georgia.
Oh my gosh, Carter and Olivia, it better not be another stump one.
And Carter,
Jim, you know you're supposed to protect me.
Carter wanted to ask the current administration of our country, the United States, has added so much to our already heavy workload. What advice do you have for people who are starting to think that their efforts are not good enough and will never amount to change?
Don't go there.
Yeah.
Don't go there. For the Carter and Olivia Reeses of the world who have been working on this before I was, since they were 8 and 9 years old, and then I discovered them, those are children that are making global impact and speaking all over in the United Nations and in, I don't know where Olivia went, Peru or Brazil or someplace. They're now like 14 and 15 or something, 13 and 14.
Oh, they're old, yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh.
They're like 20.
They're teenagers. Next thing you know, we'll be getting invited to the wedding, which is really scary. But the whole idea of, going about it in a way that we know we cannot give up. We have got to get more engaged. We have to get certain people out of Washington that are going to allow policies that we have fought for. You know, the Clean Air Act, a lot of those things were started under Republican administrations because people saw that this is not, that's before it was a political issue.
That's right.
So it's truly, we can go back in history and fact check that to see that it was really about the greater good for the United States and our citizens. But when you start talking about, you know, national parks and national historic sites, who wants that to be decimated and have oil drilling in the middle of, Yosemite? Mm-hmm. It's just very, very challenging. And don't think your voice doesn't count, because it does. More than ever, it counts. And call your elected officials. That's one piece of it. The other piece of it that I think where a lot of the hope is for me is Washington can only do so much. And that's what the scary news feeds us. Here's the fear, here's the fear. Mm-hmm. If you listen to the BBC, you hear world news. Here you hear yelling a lot and focus on the wrong things, in my opinion. But if you really focus on local, local is going to happen. Local, regional, the feds are implementing these policies, and some states are flat out refusing to implement them. And local here, like in Tucson, Arizona, and in other places that I know, that there are major movements to create healthy economies, to shop locally, to have a living forum, living economy forum, so that people are realizing the importance of what is a food desert. Are we prepared for it? The implications for local movements to me are endless. And so think about, you know, that expression, here's another one, think globally, act locally. Mm-hmm. Never before has it been more important, even to the point of your school boards. Like who's your elected officials on your school boards, which I quite frankly haven't paid attention to until recently, where it's like, wow, we have some really, we have some people that I very, very strongly disagree with in terms of the devastation and the decimation of public school. It's a foundation for the United States. Access to free and public education is a core principle of what we were founded on. So let's fight for that. So there are local battles, and not even setting up the word battle, local movements for something, mm-hmm. not set up a resistance mm-hmm. to, but what are we for? And finding people and aligning yourself with that, you know, the indivisible groups that yes. are around this yeah. country. I mean, my friend Claire in Green Valley, she's on it, man. She's on committees, and finding that way that you can contribute to a world that works for everyone and a healthy and sustainable and socially just planet. Mm-hmm. We've got to look at the local movements.
Yep. Not just hashtag rise up, but hashtag rise up for...
Yes. Hashtag take action.
That's right. That's right.
Take action.
That's right. Well, this next question comes from Olivia R. You can't ask one from Carter and not be able to ask
exactly
one from
right.
Olivia.
And I'm not surprised that they have one.
And she was very, very forthcoming in saying she's not trying to get you to say anyone in particular. But in the last 10 years as Mrs. Green that you've been doing the show, who have been your most memorable guests on your show, and what are they doing now?
That is really a tough question. And I have to say the obvious, it was a benchmark for us when we got Dr. Jane Goodall. Mm-hmm. Because if there's anyone that you can point to that has stayed true to her cause and to making a difference, because extinction of any animal, the world loses. So she has been fighting that or raising awareness about it for 50, 60 years. I mean, since she was in her early 20s or maybe mm-hmm. even late teens in a male-dominated field, doing, you know, field research in places that I probably wouldn't go and climb hills that I don't know if I could do. So she was, of course, a beacon. That's the obvious. And I, of course, can proudly say Carter and Olivia Reese. When mm-hmm. we first discovered them and their mission and their relentless pursuit of a healthier planet, the One Less Straw campaign. I read in one of my news bulletins this morning, in Great Britain, they're going to start charging for straws. And I didn't have time to look at it, but it was like, it was 5p. In Germany, that would be a pfennig. Mm. So I don't know what it is. I didn't have time to look it up, but people are charging for straws. I'd say that's one of the biggest impacts they had on me. Mm-hmm. And we have had on so many people to not use straws. We have the Hotel Congress example where mm-hmm. they stopped using them because people consume 500 million a day in the United States. Mm-hmm. Is everybody mm-hmm. listening? 500 million straws a day.
A day.
And, you know, having them stop and then being able to afford, because of the cost savings, biodegradable or compostable to-go containers, it's a ripple effect. So Carter and Olivia, and one of the guests that scared me the most, and I'd love to have her back because I passed a point at some point where they may know more in their field, but I know how to interview people and extract great information, is Dr. Sylvia
Earl,
who is the Blue Heart of the Oceans. Yeah. I mean, that woman is on a mission to save the oceans.
Phenomenal.
A phenomenal mission. And there have been others that aren't as famous, but they, you know, every guest, you and I can have the joke. I wish it was recorded. I call her up and I say, Kel, this was like the best show ever. And what happens is it was the best uh-huh. show ever. Another person I'd like to get back is, of course, you know, I'm going to say Seth Godin,
yeah.
because I was nervous. And the last thing in the world Seth Godin wants is for me to be nervous.
That's
he
right.
believes in me. I hear from him. So those were important guests for the missions they're doing. But when I have kids, and then the kids that are saving the orangutans in Borneo, mm-hmm. when you have children, and that boy has cerebral palsy, mm-hmm. and his brother are on this mission to stop the devastation of the rainforest in Borneo in brave ways. And, you know, when I did the research about that, I mean, they're literally just devastating. Mm-hmm. They're chopping the orangutans up, literally. It's a very horrible story to make way for palm oil. So make sure you have that in your next product you buy. Palm oil, it's the devil. So yeah. those are some of the highlights.
Some
and for
really
anybody else that I forgot, and I'll think
all
about
the
it.
Above. Like, all the above.
Every single every guest.
Well, before we bring our conversation to a close with our final question, we just want to remind everyone that our podcast can be accessed by visiting mrsgreensworld.com and clicking on Listen Now. Download the iHeartRadio app. Visit our partners at Renewable Now Network, Speak Up Radio, and Glimmer Glass Radio. Be sure to follow Mrs. Greensworld on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram so that we can all raise our environmental IQs and learn great tips for healthy living, sustainable lives. Our July 4th Mrs. Greensworld show will be Ryan Bigelow from Seafood Watch.
Yay!
In the Monterey Bay Aquarium. That's kind of news to Gina. And to catch up on all the great things happening with the program in the aquarium. And our June 29th Down to Earth show will feature Karen Hollish of the Pima Animal Care Center. Love the Pima Animal Care Center. Okay, Mrs. Green, final word. Mrs. Green's World, what can everyone expect from us over the next few months? What are some things that they should stay tuned for?
Let's keep our fingers crossed because it is a very big announcement here. We are working with our team to give a whole new look to our website. Mm-hmm. When you think that 60 to 70% of transactions and research and you name it,
yeah.
who do you ever see that doesn't have a gizmo? It's kind of sad, but we need to be mobile friendly. We need to provide a very different look and feel, I think, because we have evolved. And when I say, oh, my website drives me crazy, it was great for when it was on. So a new website, I actually think that we'll be moving to a new logo, which is a big step for an organization like
ours.
Taking another deep breath. I think that's, and then the mm-hmm. consistency of bringing you quality guests with great intention, with the biggest green heart that you can imagine to help us all raise our environmental IQ. So those are some really, really big changes that I feel are coming about. I think we might be moving closer to an international partnership, which is very exciting for me. I'm not at liberty to say that yet, but it's moving forward. So our 10-year anniversary, I mean, who knows? There might be a TV show in there. You just never know. But I think all I know is that the now is wonderful and the future looks very bright in terms of what our team is going to be able to accomplish in the weeks and months to come.
All of us need some sunglasses for that bright future.
And the other big announcement is I have found a replacement for me to do shows when I can't. Because if you think I'm not impressed as heck, and I'm sure people will agree, it's always how do we do that? Don't shake your head, Missy. It's like, hey, Mort.
I was like, what am I saying yes to by signing up to
But it was so impressive to see you prepare as well as I hope I do for shows. And I love you to the moon, and I wouldn't be here without you. So we can't go by without saying that. To all of my team out there, from my green heart to yours, thank you and many blessings. What a great show.
Thank you, Mrs. Green. We love you. Congratulations on 10 years. Woo-hoo! Thanks, everyone. Have a great green day. Woo-hoo!